Morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Sunshining.
Right.
Absolutely beautiful day. Okay. We're going to get going here in just a second. We're going to do What a Mighty God We Serve. You got it in your bulletin. And we're going to sing it through twice. So let's stand as we do so. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, Lord, for the sunshine, the rains we received here recently, Lord, your daily provision, your protection, Lord, for this great nation we live in, Lord, for this church, for the opportunity to be here today, Lord. Thank you for the great God that you are. Thank you that we can serve you. Thank you that we can love you, Lord. Help us to continue to show it, Lord, each and every day of our lives. Help us, Lord, not to take you for granted. Thank you for my church, Lord, my church family. Thank you for the good time we had in Sunday school, Lord, just talking and teaching and what we went through. Now our pastor's going to speak today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you give him the power that he needs, Lord, to present your message in a way that would touch every person's heart in this room today, Lord. Thank you for those that have showed up. I pray for our nation of Israel, Lord, that you would just guide them and direct them, Lord, for what they're going through today. Help them, Lord, to somehow be turned to you, that they would see their need for Christ, but, Lord, especially that you'd help them through the war that they have to go through. Be with us today, Lord, as we war against your adversary. Just strengthen us also, Lord. Help us to remember, Lord, that we need revival, and help us, Lord, to know that revival starts individually, Lord. May our hearts turn on fire for you again, Lord. Thank you for this time today, Lord. Just be with us, guide and direct. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. Page 16, please. 16. Don't forget tonight at 6 o'clock is our Way of the Master training for our evangelism. We're in study three already. We got upcoming events here. Wednesday the 18th is our family fun night. There's a sign-up sheet in the back table if you'd like to bring something to eat. Personal evangelism is set for the 17th. Women's Bible study is going to be at Diana Hall's home on the 24th. Deacon trustee meeting this week on the 19th. We're going to check with Pastor, I guess, on the date there.
That's on.
Gotcha. Wilton Bible study scheduled for the 26th. Ladies' retreat is November 4th at Walnut Park. And see, let Deb know who's going so that she can get the number to Walnut Park so they'll know. Fellowship at the end of the month. Kids team is Kay, Zelfa, and Sandra. Pastor's thought for the week. Whether nation or person, the rule of the day will be snatching victory from the jaws of defeat apart from Jesus. With him, there are no jaws of defeat and only victory. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning off. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine, Lord, coming through the windows now as we speak. Lord, just guide and direct here as we're going to go into our worship service. Be with our nation Israel, Lord. Just be with them, Lord, and help us, Lord. Help us not to be fearful, Lord. Help us to be brave in you, Lord. Help us to know that you are with us always and always will be. And Lord, please, now as we take up this offering, just ask you to be with the gift and the givers, we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Songs today. Another one that was in your bulletin. My worth is not what I own. And it's going to be up there also. You're going to help me again? Cool. Here we go.
My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but my worth is not in
on our way back up here shortly.
Can I make an announcement really quick one?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Kim.
Yeah. Really quick. We learned in our Sunday school class this morning that God provides all of our needs, not just some. When we talk about that, he doesn't just provide a few of our needs. He provides all of them. And how thankful we should be for that, you know? We're just so blessed that we have a God that loves us that much, that he cares about all of our needs. And there are people that are hurting in this world. We know that. We watch the news, and there's a lot of things going on. We can be so thankful that we have a Savior that is still in control, that, you know, loves us, and that we're not lost, that we were found with him. And that's my prayer anyway for everyone here, that you all know Christ. But Thanksgiving is coming very, very, very fast. And our committee has to meet today really quick right after church to kind of pin down some final dates for our Thanksgiving giveaway. It was such a blessing last year to be able to share with 25 needy families a Thanksgiving basket. And our goal was to do that as many this year. And we're working alongside with L&M School, and they will handle the vouchers so that we don't have to know who's receiving the meals. The school will take care of that, of making sure that the needy will get them. They'll come here to church and pick them up, and we'll package them, and we'll provide the food for their Thanksgiving basket. But we're I just wanted to share this morning that we still have that free will offering is open. We haven't set a deadline yet for the last that we can accept donations, but we will use the donations to buy the food to fill these baskets. And so far, the church provided $500, and then there was a $100 donation, so we're up to $600. Last year, it was about $1,000 to feed 25 families. So we'll feed what we can feed, and we might not be able to do that 25, but that should be our prayer, that we can help as many needy families as we can. So you can still continue to mark an envelope, Thanksgiving donation, and put it in the offering plate. And Jason is willing to do the shopping again this year. He's a very good shopper, and he's very very wise with the spending and the money. He looks for bargains and all this. And we have enough for we don't have enough yet, but he's going to start shopping to fill. We want to fill the 25 baskets. If we don't get enough donation to buy the turkeys, then we'll just be able to do 12 baskets with the turkey. If we don't get the donations for turkeys, we'll just do 25 baskets without a turkey. So I don't know if I'm confusing you, but that's where we're at right now. We're very short on funds for 25 full Thanksgiving baskets this year. We still have a few weeks left, but I just want to let you know it's really coming very fast. So that committee is going to meet right after church to decide some deadline dates and how we want to do these baskets. So as of right now, I know people have been very generous and very kind about bringing food in. And we have food in the back, but we would, and I don't know how to say this with it, to make it sound nice. We want the baskets all to be the same. And so they can't be if everybody's bringing in different kinds of food. So I guess our committee has to decide if we want to send out a list of what we want exactly for the baskets, or if the free will, the donations monetarily would be better. And then one person can do all the shopping. So if you have any questions, Jason.
Yes, I just wanted to kind of clarify. The amount that we have will cover roughly 25 baskets right now
without turkeys.
Turkeys are going to run about $17 average for the kind of turkey that we're looking for. We want to give them, you know, not reconstituted turkey, but it's something that the turkey breast is not the whole meat, something nice. We did Genio last year, but they'll run roughly about $17 per basket. And what we really need right now is donations financially to support the turkeys. So if, you know, people can financially donate to the cause for the turkeys specifically, then you can get 25 baskets taken care of.
Yeah. And anything is really appreciated, so I don't want to sound ungrateful. Yeah, Diana. Okay, and they were talking about a gift card and a turkey, or a gift card, just a gift card? You don't know. Okay. So as soon as we find that out, that will help us out a lot too, knowing where we're at with that. So as of right now, that's where we're at in order to do that. And anyone that helped last year, it was, you have to agree, it was such a blessing to be able to help do that and to see, you know, the
faces and the families when they drove through, and we just had a drive. It was like a drive-through restaurant. We carried all the boxes out to them and handed them to them, and it was a really neat experience for our group to work together doing that. We had kids helping and adults and all ages, and it was truly a blessing. And I just want to remind you again, God is so good to us, and He provides all of our needs. So let's really reach out with love to those that are really lacking. Okay, Jason.
I just want to mention one last thing. The other thing that we really need is we need the actual box to put everything in, or a basket.
No, we don't. We don't. I don't. Yeah, I don't think we do need that. But yeah. I think we got that taken care of. So we'll talk at our. We'll have a real brief meeting after, and narrow all that down. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, is this on?
Autumn's going to sing for us.
Okay. Sound crew, is the mic on? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Psalm 90, verse 12 tells us, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And we know that our days are numbered and the days of the earth are numbered as well. And lots of terrible things are happening in the world, but as Christians, we shouldn't be forlorn and sorrowful. We should be joyful in knowing our hope is in Christ, and that the end is all in His hands. And if you are in Christ, then rejoice. And if you are not in Christ, today is a great day to come to know Him as your Savior and put your trust in Him. This song's called From Everlasting, and it's based on Psalm 90. God, before the mountains were brought forth, or days of spring and summer filled the earth, from everlasting You are God. We beneath the stars in ancient skies, a thousand years are nothing in Your sight. From everlasting, You are God, and all our days are held within Your. Your perfect love and favor have no end. We rest within the wisdom of Your plan, everlasting God. Oh God, when joy and tragedy reminds us life is but a sigh, from everlasting You are God, and all our days are held within Your hands. Your perfect love and favor know no. We rest within the wisdom of Your plan, everlasting God. Oh God of light, our ways are known to You, but by Your grace You're making all things new. You satisfy us in our numbered days, establish every effort while we wait, from everlasting your perfect love and favor know no end. We rest within the wisdom of your plan, everlasting, and all our days are held within your hands. Your perfect love and favor know no end. We rest within the wisdom of your plan, everlasting God.
Grasp a hold of our hearts today and cause us to focus on his eternality, his greatness, his awesomeness, because our God is an awesome God. I want to welcome each and every one of you here today for our services. I'm going to not mess with this today. We'll see what happens. But it's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be feeding on the Word. You know, the church has a couple of different names that are mentioned in Scripture. One of those names is the Assembly. And I don't know how you folks were in school and so forth, but I always kind of like going to assemblies. Because usually it was a change from the routine, and it was always mandatory, and it just was something that refreshed us. Well, that's part of the church, too. We're here to assemble together as the believers in Christ. Now, it's possible we may have some here today that are not believers in Jesus Christ, but we're glad that you're here today. But the primary reason we gather today is not only to fellowship with one another and commemorate the resurrection of Christ, but also to encourage one another and be fed on the Word and to be challenged in our walk with the Lord today. So we're here to fulfill all those things. Please take some time today as you leave to greet people. We're a little behind on time this morning, but we need to do a howdy time again where we just talk. But make it a point today to talk to someone you may not know as well as you could. And again, we're thankful for everyone that's come out, glad for anyone that might be visiting with us. And again, we're thankful that another week has rolled around. Autumn sang about Psalm 90 this morning. Psalm 90 is a great chapter to read, and she correctly said that it tells us that we ought to be thinking about our numbering of our days, because our days are becoming fewer, no matter who we are in here today. And the other thing that psalm emphasizes as well is that time and days pass like a flood. And for those of us that are becoming more antiquated, we find that every day it starts out slow, but like a flood, it becomes what? Massive. And it comes to a great conclusion at some point. So let's use this day to glorify God, because as Denny mentioned this morning when we prayed in the office, this is the day he's made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Anyway, we're going to take a time now to pray silently. Again, as we turn our hearts to give worship and glory to God, put aside some of the baggage that's going on this morning in our lives. Let's listen to the Lord this morning. Let's commune with Him, draw close to Him today, and then I'll finish up with a pastoral prayer. But again, this is a great day, October 15th, in the year of our Lord, 2023. Shall we pray? O Lord, our Father, we are thankful today for the assembling of the saints. We thank you today that the basis of our assembling is in the risen Lord, your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, in salvation that he freely provided, yet at great cost, on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for the commonality that the believers here today have. And we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity, if there may be an unbeliever here today,
that they would see this fellowship and that you would call them into that fellowship this day, Lord. We thank you for your love for all people. Lord, we want to extol and tell you what an awesome God you are. Help us, Lord, to quiet our hearts and think about your eternal greatness, Lord, and the place that we have been given in that through your mercy and grace. Now, Lord, today I pray that you will turn our hearts toward that very thing, that will show you and let you know how worthy you are, Lord, because you are worthy. We thank you today for every soul that's come through the doors. We thank you for those that may be or have or will listen on the internet part of this, Lord. We know this, Lord, there are always empty seats here, and we think of the community that's outside of our walls. But Lord, we also think of the community that's inside of our walls that has a touch here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Lord, we pray that you would gather all people here, that we would grow in you and be fed on the word, Lord. We need you so much, Lord, in the day that we live. There is so much uncertainty in the world around us, yet you are certainty to the max. And so I thank you for that. Help this today, Lord, to be dress rehearsal for heaven for us. And Lord, we thank you that you have prepared a place eternally, a place that's not built with hands, Lord, but through your mighty power for each of us individually that have trusted in you and called upon your name. So, Lord, today there are many things that affect the hearts of the people here and that are not here. And I pray today, Lord, that you would just superintend over all those situations. You know us all better than we know ourselves. I pray, Lord, you would meet the needs and cause the challenges for us to get it right. I thank you, Lord. We know there are many in our number that are ill, some critically ill. Lord, we think today especially of Mrs. Hubbard. And we know, Lord, she's been through a very tough patch here. Lord, we just commit her to you for your will to be done. Now, we thank you for others too, Lord, that have recovered or are still struggling, but we pray again, Lord, for your providential care upon them. Lord, today also there may be difficulties in relationships, not only with you, but with one another, children, spouses, parents, all kinds of things, Lord, that Satan has thrown our direction to cause us to be disrupted. I pray today you'd bind Satan's hands, Lord, and that you would give people a desire to love each other as you have loved us. And Lord, to examine again the things that are needed in our lives to see things facilitated, Lord, in the way you would handle people, that we would do likewise. Now, Lord, we do pray for the conflict in Israel and in the Middle East, but also the conflict that goes all around the globe, Lord. It's satanic origins, Lord, that bring these things on. Satan wants to block the cross today, Lord, from people as he always has. But I pray today, Lord, you'd bind his hands and that the cross, the place of peace, would become apparent to all people. Now, Lord, I need your help today with this message, as always. It's a great message, not because of what I've done, Lord, but it's your message. That's really something, Lord, to be able to come up here and preach your word. But, Lord, I'm not worthy or even capable. So I stand here with trembling knees and shaking arms, Lord, and I ask that you'd help me again one more time, Lord, at least, to bring this for you. And I just pray, Lord, today it'll be used effectively, and at the very least it'll cause us to question the things that you have told us and our lives and how they fit it. Now, Lord, may this be a time that's really found pleasing to you as we gather today as the assembly, the called out ones, the ecclesia, the church, your institution that you dearly love. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, the title of our message today is Faith and Obedience, the Keys to Victory. So today we're going to explore that, and we'll see much evidence for that in the scriptures. We're only going to look at one text, though, today. And that's found in the book of Joshua. So if you want to find that, either in your paper Bibles or on device, and we will go along with that. But folks, I believe this with all my heart. God wants us to have a victorious life. He does not want us to be down in the dumps, because you know what, folks? If we are fully trusting in him, and I heard a little bit in the adult class this morning about Daniel. I don't think Daniel was shook up about things that he encountered. Because he said, I'm going to leave it in God's hands. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. and I'm going to claim the victory that God's already won for me. And you know what, folks? He'll do it. Now, that doesn't mean that we just blindly do things. We need to do our part in things as well. And so that has to do with the title of this message, that faith and obedience are the keys. I believe it's really just two keys, but you can incorporate others, but it's the key to having a victorious life in Christ. So we'll factor that through, looking again at one of the major characters of the Old Testament, a man named Joshua. And if we had more time today, we always battle time, we would have sung, Joshua fought the battle of... Well, let's sing it. Jericho, Jericho, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls kept standing still. It came tumbling down, right? Yeah, because of faith and obedience. Anyway, friends of the Savior, we're going to explore that this morning. As we are all aware, the eyes of the world are on the nation of Israel and the war against its enemies, most vividly the terrorist group known as Hamas. Now, let me just say this. I've had more questions about Israel this week in the general course of events when I've talked to people. Our Thursday night Bible study in Wilton lasted 2.5 hours. And it's surrounded about the events that are taking place in Israel. I'll speak to that briefly this morning, because how is there a correlation between Joshua and modern day Israel? Well, it's the foundation of the same nation. It's a group of people, Abraham's ethnical descendants, but also his spiritual descendants, most importantly, that we're talking about here. And so modern day Israel has a tie to all these things that are going on. By the way, I don't feel guilty at all that I've preached adequately on Israel over the years. Let me just say this, brush up on it. I'll allude to it here and there, and we may preach on it again, or we might have an open forum sometime and just talk about the Bible and how it all fits together. But folks, this all fits, and it's all been prophesied. And I'll just tell you this right now, Satan is in the midst of all this over there. Israel, the Jews, rejected Jesus Christ. They're paying and have paid a heavy price. They will continue to. The Arabs and the Palestinians, the dwellers there in Gaza and so forth, they've paid a heavy price because they've rejected Christ. But folks, these are all relatives. And that's what Satan wants. Satan wants everyone to be blocked from the cross. But I'll tell you what, folks, if they'll look to the cross, they'll look to the Prince of Peace, Jesus, both of these sides, they'll get it right. But until that day happens, there will not be permanent victory. Because Satan wants people to hate each other. But you know the message of the New Testament is summed up in two things that Jesus said, and then I'll get down to preaching. Jesus said the commandments can all be brought into two principles, two main themes. Love God. All the rest of the things that God wants us to do will fall in line if we'll do those two things. Folks, that's what's wrong in the Middle East. You know, it's like the proverbial Hatfields and McCoys. I think those were actually families here in the U.S. that have fought. Their descendants still fight today. But if you ask them what it all started over... But folks, the Bible tells us what this all started over. And I won't go into that this morning, but the bottom line is, if people will learn what the Scriptures say and receive them, it'll change the whole outcome of things. Eventually, that will happen. And Jesus will once again be the peace reigning on the throne in Jerusalem. Well, enough preaching on that. But anyway, I've had several questions, as I mentioned, from people this last week about Israel and its situation. I've presented over the years the history and plight of Israel up to the current day, and plan to continue to do so as the Scriptures hold the answers, past, present, and future, about this nation and people, which is complex to say the least. It is complex. Some people in the Bible study on Thursday night said, we've never heard some of these things. Well, it's here, folks. By the way, I don't harp on people. I think God does a better job than I would. But that's why it's important you come to the assembly, to the preaching and teaching of the Word, to Sunday school, to other things. Because you know what? That's where the Scriptures need to be spoken. Now, I'm going to admit I'm deficient in all this. But folks, the answers are here, and they're in this book to what's going on. Anyway, today, though, our study... Oh, I think I had something else here. It's complex, to say the least. I encourage you to take another look at the subject in your course of study as prophecy unfolds. Today, our study is focused on victorious living and the basis on how it is achieved. With that said, I will make a prediction on Israel's situation that aligns with Scripture, and that is if these are the latter days, I believe they are, but if they are, Israel will not be permanently defeated in this current altercation. In other words, I believe they'll prevail in this. If the nation of Israel is to exist in God's end times program that he's working. But I also believe this, neither will they be permanently victorious until they receive their king, who is Jesus. Yep, it's going to continue on, and there will be challenges until they become a people that obey the God of the Bible and obey him by trusting in the only one, that's Jesus, that can save them, who came to free them from bondage nearly 2,000 years ago. Peace will not rule Jerusalem until the Prince of Peace is the King of the nation in a day yet to come. He's actually going to be the King of the nations. But with that said, the Bible does tell us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Absolutely. And that's who we need to pray, is the Prince of Peace. That's found in Psalm 122, verses 6 through 9. So today, personal victorious living, whether it be for a person or a nation, is found in two things, faith and obedience to God. And that's the message, plain and simple. So for our illustration from Scripture, we're going to look in the chapters 5 and 6 of the book of Joshua, briefly in chapter 5 and 6. But before we go there, as it is usually with me, we're going to start in the first chapter very briefly. Some of these things that you're going to hear about this morning have a direct impact on what is going on yet today in Israel. So Joshua chapter 1 today, before we end up in 5 and 6, most of the time in 6. Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. Now, what's the scenario here as Joshua is preparing to lead God's people into the promised land? Where have they been? How long? 40 years fooling around. Why? Misery. But by the way, none of the men that crossed the creek, that was a piece of foam that flew out there. That's why you should never sit in the front. That crossed the Red Sea. What? How many of them survived until they crossed over the Jordan into Canaan? Because they got bogged down, they didn't obey God, they didn't have the faith to do what God told them to do, which was what? Go into Canaan. It's the promised land. It's all set for you. By the way, there's principles that we can glean from this. But can I talk to you and I? And I'm talking to myself first here. What things have we not done that God has told us to do? I can't believe, because I'm here, there's several things that I probably have not done that God has told me to do. If we'd all get that straight today, the sooner that we, what? Have faith to believe what God says and to obey it, the sooner we're going to have victory over any situation that we face. Okay? It's that simple. Anyway, 40 years in the wilderness. So now what happens? Moses dies. Joshua's on the forefront. And God tells Joshua what? Get prepared to go into the promised land. Okay? And so I just want to set the background for this briefly here, because you know what? Land is an important thing. How important is ground? Well, if you're a farmer, it's very important. But let me tell you something. Land or ground will always be valuable. Why? You could have a drawer full of gold at home, but what could happen to that gold? Could be stolen, could get tarnished, but let me tell you something. Land is something that is what? Permanent. Yeah. And even today, land is important. And let me just say this. God gave his people, he guaranteed them the land, and all they had to do was what? Take it. Receive it. So the principle here, one of them today, and we may not get this done today, but So what? If God has something there for you, take it today. Do it. Do it the way he says. Trust him. And that was the struggle. This is the point today, the first point of this. Abraham's descendants struggled with faith and obedience all the way through, and in particular before the book of Joshua, like we said, they were bogged down in the wilderness. God does this great thing. Parts the sea. They go through on dry land. And within a day or two, what do? Complain, murmur, you know, rather than trusting God and getting with his program. Let me tell you, folks, we better get with his program sooner than later. Amen? Anyway, he gave them the directives to enter Canaan under Joshua. And folks, their first, by the way, anything God calls you to do will always have challenges. Answer me on that, class. Why? Because God has an adversary to his program, and it's Satan. And just as I mentioned about Satan trying to block the cross, Satan is trying to block you and I from victory in Jesus today. I'm not just talking about salvation, but you know, I think the Christian community today is pretty humdrum and glum. And we have no reason to be humdrum or glum, folks, because Jesus has won the victory, and we need to claim that victory and claim the joy that comes with it and the enthusiasm for what lies ahead. Folks, we do not face a destiny of doom. If you're a believer here today, we face a destiny of what? Victory. Victory for all time. Anyway, the ground. Here it is. Verse 2 of chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 2 through 6 quickly because God is telling Joshua, the new leader, again, what is coming down. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, what? My favorite thing to say, get to going. Okay? Get up. Arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Key in that verse, the land that I... Now, how do we work in our deficient human minds? It's too good to be true. We can't do it. There's all kinds of negatives that are going to come involved in this. No, God says, I'm giving it to you. Do you believe him? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast or your border. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Joshua is being implied in the people. And God says this, I will what? I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. I'll tell you what, folks, all of our words in this room are just words. But words are proven with what? Actions. But let me tell you something. God, his words are always true. And he'll back it up with action as well. When God says it, you can take it to the bank. It will come down just as he said. By the way, well, let me finish verse 6. And you ought to, you know, read this text because this is a very fun text to preach on and to consider. But I'll just read 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. By the way, who got the first promise of ground in the Bible? Abraham, of this soil. Now, sometime read the text here that comes on this, and it'll tell you how to have success in your life as well. Not only victory, but success. We're not going to look at that this morning, but you can look at that on your own. But the fact of the matter is, here's a little thing about this. Israel to this day has never taken control of these borders that God promised them. With the exception of one short time. But it's inconclusive if it was totally done. But here's where we'll go. 1 Chronicles 18:3. 1 Chronicles 18:3. David. By the way, you want to know the great days of Israel? David's time. 1 Chronicles 18:3. Of course, we know that David was a miraculous leader, wasn't he? Son of God. Yeah. Now, Solomon had the benefits of what his dad did. But anyway, I just wanted to throw this in there. And David smote Hadarezer, king of Zobah, unto Hamath, and he went to establish his dominion by the river Euphrates. So briefly, Israel had this, but the fact of the matter is they lost and still to this day do not occupy the territory that God gave them because, class, why? They lacked faith. Okay, you got it. Let's all go home and have lunch. Anyway, yeah, so that's an interesting thing. Now, second thing I want us to go to about these promises and so forth is Joshua 1, 16 through 18. What, Joshua 1, 16 through 18. So Joshua brings all this. He gets the tribe set up. They're getting ready to go through the Jordan River. Boy, that's a neat thing. I've preached on that, but read that too. They set up a memorial of God's greatness, you know, his providential help as they crossed, I call it the creek. By the way, it was probably more of a creek than a river. But nevertheless, it was an obstacle. And God took them through it how? On dry land again. Yeah. So now we want to look at verses 16 through 18 here. And so they're all ready to go. And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." By the way, be very careful what you make for promises. "According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things," did they listen to Moses in all things? No. "So will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." So things sounded pretty good here, didn't they? They were really united. They were ready to cross the creek. And you know what, folks? God allowed that to happen. You can read about that on your own. Now, the next place I want us to go briefly is Joshua 5, 13 through 15, before we get to Joshua 6. And you can read all the ensuing text here. Joshua, excuse me, I'm having trouble with my pages again. Joshua chapter 5, 13 through 15. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho." Now get prepared for this, because Jericho was going to be the first challenge to see how Israel was going to hold up as they began to conquer the promised land. By the way, I should have had a map up here this morning. But Israel came into the promised land from the east. They crossed the Jordan River, headed west. Okay? And Jericho, you can look on your maps, Jericho was the first major city and a threat, again, in the land of Canaan to Israel. But let's see how this all turns out. Now, where was I at? 15? I got to look at my notes here again. 13 through 15. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" Now, what do you think this is going to be? Well, the Bible answers this. Folks, be assured today, I believe this on the basis of Scripture. Every one of us has a guardian angel. But God's angels and his angelic host are still active in things that go on that yet this day. Amen. Yeah. And here's what he said. He says, "No, but as captain of the host of the Lord." By the way, who might this have been? It could have been Michael, the archangel, right? God didn't send one of the subordinates on this job. He was captain of the host. He's the number one. God doesn't send insufficient forces to his people's help. Amen. And let me tell you, that's the same thing yet today. God's watching out for us, for his people. And he said, "No, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I now come." And Joshua said, "Okay, that's cool." Joshua fell to his face on the earth. He was moved by God, that God had shown him and revealed to him, "I've got you covered, Joshua. Just obey and believe and obey what I have told you to do." Let's go on with the text. And he did what? He did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, by the way, this is kind of interesting to figure out what this all means. He says, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." In other words, this is God's territory, and God's got a hold of this program, Joshua, and you better understand right now, he's the one that's in control. Get your shoes off. This is God's territory. And did Joshua say, "Well, no, Lord, I'm not going to do it your way." It says here, "And Joshua did so." Folks, if you are lacking victory in your life, Go to the Lord, folks. He's got it set for you. Realize he has his angels watching over you. His program is all set. All you need to do is did so. Joshua did so. Now, I left a lot of the background out, and here we are, pert near out of time. Pert near. But we'll keep going. But Joshua did so. So let's go into chapter 6 and let's see what happens here. And let's see where faith and obedience. By the way, this will be a part 2, and I assume it'll be next week if the Lord allows it to happen. Anyway, so we come to the city of Jericho. Now, by the way, God will always equip you for whatever journey he sends you on. Yeah. And what is that old saying? God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Don't ever forget that. God doesn't need what you have. You need, and I need, what he has to accomplish what needs done. Now, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. What's going on with these people? They're running scared. Why? They'd seen what happened with God. News abounded in that region that, hey, something miraculous took place 40 years ago when God took his people out of 400 plus years of slavery in Egypt and brought them across miraculously the Red Sea. And you know what? These people now have done what? They finally got their act together, and they've come across the Jordan now. Uh-oh, hey! And guess what the first city is that they're going to come to? Jericho. So, folks, this is the common thing with people and in our sin, and people that lack faith. What are they going to do? They're going to be scared. They're going to become defensive. They're going to become isolated, okay, because they don't have the victory of God on their side. But folks, they can see that the victory of God is with these people, okay? And so they're holed up, and they are hunkered down, waiting to see what's going to happen. And the Lord said, so that's why, because there was news of Israel and what had taken place, see, and they're in God going before them and bringing them along. And the Lord said to Joshua, verse 2, "See," here he says it again, what? "I have given the land into thine hand," the land that is the city of Jericho. Okay? God says, "Do you believe this, Joshua? I said it." Remember what we said? When God says it, you can believe it. "And the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once, for thus shalt thou do for 6 days. Now, God told him, "You can trust me." If the people believe God, then God says what? Obey me. And the first thing he told him is, he starts to hand out some numerics. He says, "March around the city one time for 6 days." By the way, I've got some things down here about some of these numbers. If we don't get to them today, I'll get to them. But never forget this. God's number is 7. It's a number of perfection and a number of completion. God has several numbers, but 7 is one of the biggest ones, folks. By the way, a lot of people have never heard that's God's number. I shared that in a Bible study the other night. But folks, isn't it interesting that when we go to the gambling industry or places where Satan has a lot of focus, and I don't believe in luck, I believe in God's providence, but what's the lucky number people are looking for? Isn't that interesting? that that's God's number. Number three is another big number with God. And there's some others. You can check that out. But six also has an implication. Six is the number that is what? It's a number of man, and it's just short of perfection. Okay? So God is telling, he's reminding Israel here, as we'll look through this, he's saying, six times around, I want you to obey, but understand, that is what? That is not the grand number here. And it's to remind Israel what? You are not perfect apart from me. Okay? You are not, by the way, we ought to keep that number six in our heads. We are never complete, we are never whole, we are never empowered apart from Jesus. The number seven, okay, God. Anyway, he gives specific directions. Let me ask you today, has God given us specific directions? He has on many things. Oh, there's liberty too in the body of Christ and in our lives, but he's told us many specific things. The question I have for myself and for you, how often have we trivialized God's orders and directives in our lives? And you're looking at a guy that has, okay? I'm pretty sure I'm looking at a group of folks that have. Amen? Anyway, 6 days, God has explicit directions. And seven priests, there we find the number again, shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns, and the seventh day you shall compass the city seven times. Seventh day, seven times. By the way, people often wondered, was this coordinated with the week? We simply don't know that. In other words, was the victory won on the Sabbath day? We don't know that. We can't prove it from Scripture. But I'm telling you again, an opinion. I think it was. I think everything is designed around God and his Sabbath rest. Jesus is our Sabbath rest today. See? And this all fits. Anyway, or NOA, as they say up in northern Iowa. Did you ever experience that, Woodrow? I had some relatives up by Mason City. They never said anyway. They said NOA. Anyway, I know you don't see my humor in a lot of things. You wouldn't be the first. And it shall come to pass, verse 5. What is God asking Joshua and the Israelites to do? To believe him, and what will happen? It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, some of the people shall shout with a great shout. All of the people shall shout with a great shout. You see, to have this accomplished in Israel, these victories, everyone had to be on the same page. Let me tell you something, folks, whether it's in your marriage or a family relationship or a church or all kinds of relationships, God wants everyone on board, because when he does things, when the great shout comes, he wants everyone hands on deck. Okay? All the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. God laid the whole thing out, how he was going to do it, and their part in it. By the way, just so some wise person doesn't come to me this morning and say, well, archaeologists have proved that a part of the wall did not fall. That is true. But archaeologists have also proven that all the rest of the walls fell. But I'm going to tip you off to that because we're out of time today. You remember Rahab? If you read back in this, God said he would protect Rahab. Guess what part of the wall didn't fall? The part where Rahab and her relatives were, that God was going to what? Spare. Because she sheltered the spies when they came there. Folks, this book is not a fantasy. This book is provable. And it's been proven. And faith in God proves. God almost shut the book on us there. Faith and obedience to God proves out the things that he has promised to us. Now, sadly, I could have preached for another hour. But Lord willing, we'll come back next week. But what can we glean from this morning already? If you want to see victory in your life, you want to see victory in any given situation, believe God and do what He says. Folks, that's what it all comes down to. It really does. And you can put it into practice in your life. I will guarantee on the basis of God's promises and His Word, if you'll put this to practice in your life, on all things surrounding your life, you'll have victory. You won't be going out of here today, oh, I mean, I might do it because I ache, but even in my aches, I know there's victory coming. There's a new body coming someday, you know? And that's going to be okay, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to take Psalm 90's advice. Let's live today and get it right with God right now. And let's see what He's got coming down the trail. Because I'll guarantee you one thing, it's going to be exciting. If your life is dull, go to the Lord. I use the word crazy, but it's a good crazy, you know? Serving Him, what's He going to do next? How's all this going to take? If we place our faith and obedience in the Lord, it'll be okay. Now, as we close today, we're not done with the message. But I just want to ask us here point blank today, where are you at in that, and where am I at on it? As a believer here today, maybe you've lacked in your faith with Jesus for what's ahead. Maybe you've slipped up on obeying Him. My hands in the air. But also, maybe someone's here today that has never had faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know everyone's heart. I need to say this, though, don't I, today? Because, folks, that is the only path there is to true victory. It's through Jesus. And He loves your soul today. Because let me just say this. What's prophesied in the Scriptures about hell, that's not going to be a place of victory. It's going to be a place of eternal defeat. Folks, we need to consider that carefully today. You've been a great audience today. I just enjoy these kind of things, how God sets it all up. If we'll just do what? You know, claim what He gives us. I'm done yakking. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. Let's sing page 801. It's How Great Thou Art. This is kind of hard to find in the hymnal if you need it. But you know what today? Have you considered God's greatness and where He is in your life? I'll tell you what, folks. He wants to see good things happen. I believe this. He wants to see great things happen with you and I. And the walk that He has planned for us. It's all about faith and obedience. Let's leave this place victoriously. If you're in the bonds of despair, if you're in a valley, today you can have victory in Jesus. Go to Him. Tell Him about it. Tell Him, I believe, Jesus, what You told me. And you know what? I'm going to do it Your way. He'll answer that prayer. He'll come alongside you today. Hey, the front of this church is open, but God's communication channels are always open. You can deal with that on your own, but I'm here and others are here to help each other, right? Maybe there's big things that need to happen today in Jesus. Let's sing together about Jesus. Oh, Lord, my God. Be a blessing to the Lord today. He's already blessed us, hasn't He, with immeasurable amounts of His grace and love. Marlon, I'm going to ask you to close today in prayer, please.